of our scripture reading for this afternoon will surely confirm, most blessed are they that trust in the Lord. Let's read together from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul writes, led by the Holy Spirit, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the brethren, unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So far, the Holy Word of God. May God bless just the reading of Scripture to us. Our focus this afternoon is on the first article of the Apostles' Creed, where we testify to believing in God the Father. So the text chosen for this service is especially verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, especially those words from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's just look together too at the beautiful question and answer on this in the Heidelberg Catechism. Page 37 in the back of the Psalter. Page 37 in the back of the Psalter. Just one question and answer on this first article. Here we read, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And listen to this answer, that the Christian may confess and profess that the Eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. The theme of the sermon is, I believe in God. God, our Father. Your congregation belonging to Christ, there's a woman known in history as America's greatest miser. What's a miser? It's a person who is greedy and stingy and hoards money for its own sake, even at the expense of one's own comfort. And this woman, Hetty Green is her name. You can Google about her if you like. When she died in 1916, she left an estate valued in today's currency into the billions of dollars. Yet she ate cold oatmeal because she didn't think she should heat it. It would cost too much. And when her son needed major surgery, she delayed doing so till it was too late. And it is said the reason for her delay was she kept looking for a cheaper clinic and a doctor for the case. This woman, we would say, was surely foolish. She was not acknowledging how wealthy she really was in terms of money, nor was she making good use of her rich resources at hand. But isn't it true, dear congregation? As confessing Christians, we can all too often be like this as well. The Bible says that belonging to Jesus Christ through faith, we may have endless resources and comfort for our good, for body and soul in life and death. With the Lord, we confess, and the Bible teaches, is plenteous redemption. Yet all too often, isn't it true, we can live as those who seemingly hardly have any resources or comfort at hand. As one put it, too many Christians are living like paupers, that is, extremely poor people, when Christ has made us ever so rich. I introduce the sermon this way, especially when considering this afternoon what is surely one of the greatest and grandest riches that becomes ours when belonging to Christ, when trusting and following Him. What is this inestimable, most astounding riches and comfort? It is having God, the sovereign, almighty God, who created this whole world and sustains it all in His providence, having Him as your dear Father. This sermon is in connection with the confession of the Christian in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. What does that mean? To believe in God the Father as our Father, your Father, my Father. And how can that really be true? And such great riches and comfort that God is our Father. Thinking too how next week we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is good in this preparatory sermon to ask yourself, do I know God as my Father? And can I explain and tell how God can and will be my dear Father? For Jesus' sake alone. Surely the Lord's Supper is instituted by the Savior to have His people not only confess God as Father, but to rejoice and revel in Him as our Father. The Lord doesn't want us to go through life as poor, comfortless people. When writing the Ephesian church, Paul says to them in Ephesians 1, verse 2 and 3, grace and peace. To you, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. With this text in view, and the Catechism explanation in Lord's Day 9, we have as our theme for this sermon, I believe in God, God our Father. Notice with me under this theme, one, this relationship with God as Father. Two, the glories of God our Father. Three, the comforts with God our Father. And fourth, the praises due to God our Father. May God bless this message. Let all of you leave from here realizing, for a first time or else afresh, nothing can compare to being a Christian. And to belong to Christ by faith and to have God as our Father has to be among the most wonderful of blessings in this life that ever can be had. Let me back this up, pursuing our points. Notice for one, the believer's relationship with God as Father. Here, just listen again to the confession of faith as expressed in Lord's Day 9. It's so beautiful. To the question, what do you believe? When you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the Christian may answer, as the writers of the Catechism put it, it means, quote, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in them, who likewise governs and upholds the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God, and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, or soul and body. And further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he's able to do it, being Almighty God. And he's willing, being a faithful Father. With this question and answer, dear congregation, what this question and answer brings out clearly also on the basis of all of Scripture is that trusting and relying on Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord means having God as your dear Heavenly Father too. And it's based on Scripture. Think again of our text. Paul gives greetings from God our Father, even as he begins writing to the Ephesian church. In Ephesians 1 verse 2. And you find the same expression in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Same verse. Through Christ and faith in Him, we who are by nature sinners and hopelessly and justly alienated from God, left to ourselves, yet now, when looking to Christ and trusting Him, we may be children of God. And have the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ become our dear Father too. What incredible truth this is. The gospel is, and hopefully we'll never tire of it, Jesus came to reconcile sinners to God. Jesus was sent of the Father in heaven for this very purpose. To seek and to save guilty, defiled sinners. And to bring about a relationship of peace and adoption with God, the Father, through His once for all saving work in the place of sinners. Jesus, the Father's only begotten beloved Son, was crucified in the sinner's place. He bore the holy and righteous wrath of God against sin as the just for the unjust, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, that He might bring us to God. Indeed, that we might become His dear beloved children once again. And even in a richer and more fuller way than by our creation in His image in the beginning of time. Before the fall into sin. God's only begotten beloved Son was forsaken as sin bearer. That rebels like us might be taken in as His dear children. Confessing our sin and trusting Christ. Well, you know this amazing gospel, right? You've heard it many times. And isn't this gospel visibly portrayed for us at the Lord's Supper? With the broken bread and the poured out wine. As confessing Christians, do you confess Christ and His once for all perfect sacrifice as the only means of reconciliation with God? And will you come in reliance on Christ alone and in remembrance of Him also for the further assurance of faith in God being our dear Almighty Father too, for Jesus' sake? It is good to think through this question, also in preparatory week, that you come in remembrance of Christ, in reliance on Him. We know God is Father of creation, all creation in a general way, including especially humanity. And we know too, He's the Father of His only begotten Son in an eternal and unique way that we will never totally comprehend. We know that. But this is the gospel that we may know as well. He becomes our dear Father too by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners. When Jesus arose from the dead, in His first conversation, and I'm sure He delighted to say this, to as resurrected Savior, speaking with Mary Magdalene, Jesus said to her in John 20, verse 17, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Jesus also taught His followers, did He not? When you pray to God, say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Oh, this is the amazing gospel truth unique to the Christian faith. As expressed also in John 1 verse 12, "As many as received Him," that is Christ Jesus, "to them gave He power or the right or the authority to become the sons or children of God, even to them who believe on His name." Relationship with God as our dear Father. This is the first point of the sermon. And what a point it is. Especially when you realize something experientially of who we are of ourselves. Through sin we have become children of the devil, as Jesus brings out in John 8:44. But now, through Christ Jesus as Savior of sinners, by grace alone, through faith alone, we may be rescued from this bondage and this curse. And instead be joined to Christ by grace through faith. And we may, in and through Him, be received and adopted as God's dear children, having the privilege and right to call God our Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit, taking of the things of Christ the Savior and showing them to us, teaches us that we may call God Abba, Father. Abba is like saying almost Daddy. It's more than Daddy, but much more. You find that stated both in Romans 8 and in Galatians 4. Isn't the word Father a very dear term? It's more than saying Daddy, even much more. It's true for some of you the title Father may not be such a welcoming term because of memories of dads not very faithful, mean even. But God the Father is perfect love and perfect care and perfect faithfulness and perfect understanding. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Father who will be our Father. God compares Himself sometimes to mothers in the Bible, especially in the book of Isaiah. The same Bible teaches that God especially compares Himself in revealing Himself to us as a Father who pities His children. So the Lord pities them that fear Him. And in Matthew 7:11, there's this most beautiful text. Jesus states to His disciples, "If you then being evil, know as dads how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" It is something tremendous, dear congregation, to think about that the same Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is also Almighty God and Creator and caretaker of the whole wide universe and our earth and everything in it and with it especially, He will be and is your and my Father in and through Jesus Christ. This is what every Christian should know and may know and glory in. Being a Christian, being loosed from and delivered from a horrible relationship that with the worst of beings ever, the devil himself, and instead becoming a child of God, who is only good and who is almighty, and having him not just as an acquaintance or a reference or a coach or a friend even, but as your dear Father for now and forever. What are you living in this relationship and out of this relationship with God as your Father? Is that how you desire to live and want to grow in living? In the chapter we read from Ephesians 1, how many times you find the phrase in Christ, being found in Him. And this is the gospel truth. However untrue it could be and forever would remain to be left to ourselves, this is the gospel truth, that God will be our dear Heavenly Father in and through Christ as you and I rely on Him. This is the good news in Christ Jesus, even for as many as trust and obey Him and belong to the Savior by grace through faith. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3. For every Christian belonging to Christ, you have God as your Father. Really, truly. But yes, in the course of life, in the ups and downs of life, we can sometimes really struggle with this, can't we? Taking hold of this. It seems too good to be true. But you see, the Lord will reassure us of it also with the Holy Supper. He's so kind. He's so good. For as many as trust and follow after Christ, the Lord will assure us by means of the sacrament. He will be our dear Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. And He reminds us by the sacrament what Jesus has done to make this possible. Oh, apart from Christ, how hopeless we are. But in Christ, through Christ, how rich, considering just this relationship with God as our Father. God delights in His people, not being paupers in the Christian life, but reveling in His grace and glorying in His goodness in Christ Jesus, also that He will be our Father. And to see more the wonderfulness of this relationship, we move now to our second main point, considering the glories of God the Father. You know how sometimes in family life we can magnify our dad, say great things about dad or mom. Well, how should we speak of the glories of God the Father? How would Jesus speak of His Father to us? Let's just think about some of the characteristics of God the Father that should so bring out for us how rich and blessed to have Him as your Father and my Father too. What would Jesus tell us about His Father? Well, among other things, consider one, how God the Father is an almighty Father. He's almighty. Nothing is impossible with Him. Think of Him as the creator of the heavens and the earth. Imagine that. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 124, 8, we confess. That's a great thing, to have Him as our helper, almighty helper. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What a great comfort. What a refuge we have with almighty, omnipotent God as our Father. Shouldn't we think of this much more than we do? Not only is He almighty, but He's all wise too. God the Father never makes any mistakes. He never has and never will, for He knows all things from beginning to end. And in fact, as Almighty, all-knowing God, He works out all things for good, for the good of His people, and the coming of His eternal kingdom. God the Father is on top of everything, if I may put it that way. He misses nothing, and He's aware of everything, and nothing as such can come as a surprise to Him, or something He hadn't figured on. There's so much that can be confusing and troublesome to us in life. But nothing is ever so for Him. Nothing whatsoever. Never. Amazing, don't you think? And to have this God, this Almighty, all-knowing, omnipotent, wise God as your Father. What a sense of security and comfort in life and death this may give us. Wouldn't you say so too? Consider too, God the Father is ever faithful in all His works and ways. Constantly true to His written word, to every promise He's given, and to every warning as well. He is, in other words, endlessly reliable, someone you can so count on to do as He said and promised. You know, as earthly fathers, even when we want to be true to our words, to our children always, there are times when we just can't be. When we have to say, I'm sorry, but it didn't work out as I had hoped and as I had spoken with you. But with God the Father, that is never the case. Can we not see something of God the Father's endless and widespread faithfulness in His care and keeping of this universe ever since the beginning, even since the fall of man and the flood with Noah till the present day? Can we not see something of the faithfulness of God in His going through with His plan of salvation as declared already in the first chapters of the Bible? Regardless of man rebelled and revolted against Him. Great is God's faithfulness in countless ways, for sure. In general, for this world, and in particular, for His people. Then think too of the fact that God is infinitely understanding towards us as well. How precious that is. There's no searching of His understanding, we read in Isaiah 40. Meaning, there's just no end, no limit to His compassionate care and understanding towards us, even as bungling sinners and saints here on earth. God as Father for His people is filled with boundless care and such gracious forgiveness and endless patience and loving kindness towards His children. And if you say, but how can that be for a guilty, lost sinner by nature like me and often a wayward, doubting and revolting, rebelling sinner time and again, even as a child of God? How can God be there for me as Father with understanding? Well, think next of how God the Father is also, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, the Father of mercies. He's the Father of mercies. God as Father is most merciful towards sinful people like you and me. The proof again is we see in the fact that of His sending of His Son to be Savior of sinners. God sent His Son, though the world rebelled again and again. God stayed faithful to His promise in mercy and faithfulness. And God sent His Son, God the Father, sent His only Son to be Savior, even though Father and Son knew, along with the Spirit, that it would mean for the Savior such terrible suffering, and for the Father having to forsake His own Son when a sin-bearer He would take the punishment in the place of sinners. To understand something of God as the Father of mercy, think of that parable of the prodigal son. The most moving story of how when that wayward son who wasted all his substance came back in confession of sin, the Father came to him running and showed him mercy and love. It's one of the most beautiful stories in all the Bible, showing us God in His mercy. God, as Father, is the Father of mercies. And there's so much more we can say about God the Father. Let me mention yet three more truths about Him. The Bible states that God the Father is also endlessly rich in all our needs. He's endlessly rich. Paul speaks in Ephesians 2, verse 7, of the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Paul writes in Philippians 4, 19, in that verse you may well know, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, in and through Christ Jesus, there are storehouses of blessings for us, inexhaustible and endlessly bountiful and always accessible in every way for our whole being in any and every need, anytime and forever. The psalmist says, what every true child of God finds out, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack a thing. Paul writes in Romans 10 verse 12, the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. This is the gospel of God our Father, as well as of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. God is the one in whom we may find all blessings, all spiritual blessings. And He is the God of all comfort, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, in all our tribulations. In this valley of tears, He is the God who will be our Father, full of comfort and help. He's got the resources when we have none. What else is so special about this God as Father? The Bible describes God as Father also as, I love this, everlasting Father. Everlasting. That is one who is and who was and who is to come. Our earthly fathers are just for a time. But God is Father for all time, and He will never in Christ leave us nor forsake us. He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the everlasting Father of His people, who will never leave or forsake His people. We are never out of His sight or out of His care. What comforting truth this may be and is. Especially when going through a veil of tears with this trial or that. Paul mentions too, doesn't he, in Ephesians 1, how God's people are those chosen by the Father in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And just the thought of these are concepts so grand that God the Father thought on us when we believe in Christ. He thought on us from eternity already. And He will do so forevermore in Christ. From everlasting to everlasting. Father, God, how unbelievably grand that is and overwhelmingly wonderful. Paul speaks of God's election to salvation, not as a stumbling block in the Christian faith, but as a great wonder of the Christian faith. Something to ever praise God for and to sing praises to Him about. I heard recently someone say we shouldn't read Ephesians 1. Sounds strange. He said, we should sing Ephesians 1. When you once grasp how the doctrine of election is all embedded in Christ and couched in Christ and framed by grace and for the purposes of glorifying God triune as the God of grace and our salvation being all in and through Him, then you love this doctrine. And indeed, you sing its praises rather than bemoan it and see your case as hopeless in the face of it. I tell you, if it were not for God's unconditional election of sinners from eternity, no one in time, here and now would ever be saved. Now there's hope for all to be saved and no one need to go lost. Who here will stay in sin linked with the mean, wicked liar, the devil, as your father? when hearing this great gospel, hearing of God the Father, so almighty, so wise, so faithful, so understanding, so merciful, so rich, so everlasting, being our Father in and through Christ Jesus. Oh, as Joshua wrote long ago in Joshua 24, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is this what you confess to? Is this your confession of faith? Also think about that in this preparatory week. Yes, for still one last thought of God as Father, taken from our text chapter in Ephesians, in conclusion of the glories of God the Father. Notice Paul calls God, calls the Lord in verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. If you want to think about and remember the glories of God the Father, just think of how He is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and how glorious a Father He must be and is. Not only to Jesus from eternity, His own beloved Son, but for people like us in and through Him in providing so great and perfect a Savior of sinners for us. God is the Father of glory. That's a concept you could meditate on for hours. Whatever is truly glorious and forever glorious, you find with Him and in Him and in it through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Father of glory is our Father. God dwells in infinite glory, and the new world will be a place of endless glory in heaven and on earth. This Father of glory may be your Father and mine for Jesus' sake. Well, are you attracted to this gospel? Are you attracted to God the Father as He is proclaimed to us, as revealed in Scripture, in and through Jesus Christ the Savior? Jesus says in that well-known verse, which I also quoted this morning, at least part of it, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There are no exceptions. Only by Christ do we come to the Father. Only through Christ can we know God as our dear Heavenly Father. In other words, we can never truly know God as Father and enjoy Him as such, except we repent of sin and are born again and turn from sin and entrust ourselves to Christ as only Savior from sin. Well, are you so living in true relationship with the Lord, in humble dependence and faith upon Him, as made known to us in God's holy word and in the gospel? The Lord's Supper is given to confirm for us, to strengthen us in this faith by sign and seal. The Lord knows how slow we can be to believe and to trust and to rejoice. So He's given the sacrament to strengthen His people in the faith. Believing in Jesus and abiding in Him and His word, this you may know. God is and will be, for the sake of Christ, His Son, your God and your Father, for now and forever. It truly is an amazing gospel truth. And to see this more, let's think on our next main point, thinking next of the comforts with God as Father. The comforts with God as your Father are manifold, as expressed in question and answer 26 also of the Catechism. You may rely entirely upon Him and have no doubt, but He will provide you with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that He will make whatever evils He sends our way in this valley of tears turn out to your advantage. He's able to do it, being Almighty God, and He's willing, being a faithful Father. What a comfort this is, to have this refuge in life's journey, in life and death. In Ephesians 1, Paul wants to make clear as well how infinitely rich and secure and comforted and safe and blessed we may be and are, being found in Christ and having through Christ God as our Father and the Holy Spirit as our sanctifier and guarantee of the eternal salvation to come still. Under His wings of love, what truly can go wrong in this valley of in this valley of tears. Whatever happens to us, we are safe. And again I say, the Lord's Supper is given to strengthen us in this faith, to strengthen God's people. We read in John 17 that the Lord Jesus prayed this high priestly prayer, that the glory which He has with the Father, His people may have with Him, may be partakers of it, may be witnesses of and participants of. And He says in that chapter, in the very last verse, or almost last verse, Lord, that the same love, that the same love that God the Father has for His Son may be the love that we have, that we receive and enjoy through Him. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's a commentary, a little commentary on Ephesians, fittingly entitled, Be Rich. In other words, don't live as poor, hopeless people, seeing who God is for us in Christ Jesus. Among other things, no less than God our Father, from whom grace and peace, riches and mercy, love and understanding, strength and help, protection and deliverance, cleansing and renewal, and comfort in all our tribulations may be found. With God as your Father, salvation blessings are guaranteed. With God as your Father, not a hair can fall from your head without God's will. With God as your Father, as Isaiah 54:17 states, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The comforts with God as your Father, they are not only abundant in every way, but endless too, for always. Not believing in Jesus, not following Him in accordance with His Word, you know what? There are no everlasting comforts for you to be found. None whatsoever. All your comforts are passing and in the end empty and vain. But with God in Christ Jesus, comforts for body and soul in life and death, for now and forever, are found and abound, superabound, exceeding abundantly even, above all that we could ask or think. The poorest child of God, God the Father, is endlessly rich, really, while the richest person of this world, unsaved still, is hopelessly and miserably poor, really. And beyond this life, headed for the place of eternal destruction, except he repents. The call of the gospel is, isn't it, for all, each and everyone also here, to come to know God as Father, in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. In Matthew 11, Jesus states, after mentioning in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then right after that, Jesus goes on and he says, in gracious invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, through Jesus Christ the Savior, by the Father's design and the Spirit's will and working, the vilest sinner is welcome and urged even to come to Jesus. And through Him there is salvation and reconciliation and adoption with the Father, even for as many as come unto God by Him. And the Lord's Supper is for all confessing Christians who acknowledge this and who testify this in faith. It pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in Jesus the Savior, and the Father warmly and forever embraces all who come to Him, looking unto Jesus and pleading His precious blood shed on Calvary's cross in the place of sinners. I hope and pray no one here in self-righteousness or just in indifference or in blindness to the emptiness of the world and the wickedness of our sin will refuse to hear the call of the gospel as it comes to us also this afternoon. In this regard, I'm reminded of a little song that one of our family is teaching their children. It goes like this. There are two ways built for little feet. That's the Bible story. The broad way is with danger filled. The straight way leads to glory. Which way are you traveling? Which way are you traveling? Which way are you traveling? The broad or the narrow way? God's people travel the narrow way, looking to Jesus, and ever ask Him to lead them in the way everlasting. When you know this gospel, and when you live by it, and are by God's grace children of the Lord, who have God as your heavenly Father, you will agree too then that He surely is due all our praise and adoration. And this brings me briefly to our last point yet, the praises due to God our Father. As Christians, we are called ever to praise God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you praise Him? With words and deeds, with your offerings and your thoughts, with your body and your possessions, with your choices, with your family and in your work and in your education pursuits. How often in the Psalms we are exhorted, praise ye the Lord. Isn't that what should shine through most in our lives as confessing Christians? When you think of it all, the gospel, then you can't find words enough and ways enough to praise the Lord as is His due. And you mourn often the fact that we still fail to praise the Lord as He is worthy and due as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Malachi 1, God complains of His people paying so little respect and honor towards Him. In verse 6 of Malachi 1, God says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear or respect? Saith the Lord of hosts." One of the ways that the Israelites failed to honor God the Father was by coming with half-hearted, disrespectful, presumptive worship, and with failing to really acknowledge God, failing to tithe before God, not acknowledging Him as the giver of all their blessings, nor how undeserved were all their blessings. Well, do you worship God with respect and honor in spirit and truth, with all due humility and reverence and love? Paul was full of praises for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so it should be with us as Christians today. For Christians are so rich, unbelievably so, and forever more so. And when you say from the heart, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, God our Father," when you understand something of that, oh, what reason to rejoice and to live to God's praise with all your mind, heart, and soul. And so the Lord gives us the Lord's Supper next week, to strengthen us in this faith and to have us live in a way that we testify to others. There's nothing like being a child of the Lord, a Christian by God's grace. Amen.